Your knights are in another castle. All your base are belong to us. It's dangerous to go alone. Listen to this. The Knights of the Game Table Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. Yay! To the Knights of the Game Table Podcast. Yeah, what's up? What's up? I know you've all been waiting for the all-new episode. You're just like, all right, seriously, when are these guys going to start releasing these regularly? Well, anyway, so today on this podcast, you have yours truly, Marcus, and I normally introduce myself as Queso Bandito, and you got Mr. Daniel Slade, also known as, what is your main handle you go with? King Poser?
Yeah, 22? Sure, King Poser. King Poser, yeah, that's my gamer handle.
Right. Yeah, we got the king of the posers.
That's right, King Poser. King Poser in the house, everybody.
So, we're back for another episode, bringing back all of the fun topics of and pertaining to video gaming. Da-da!
This day in video game history! Sorry.
I'm so excited. I'm always excited about every single one of these podcasts because I like talking some crap about some crappy video games, but I also like talking about the games I love. It's a two-way street, and I write it both ways. Okay, never mind. Let's go ahead and edit that out, and let's not talk about it. So let's go ahead and just jump into the first. Let's go ahead and jump into the first topic. So the first topic that I've read over the past couple of weeks is that Payday 2, the developers from Payday 2 have apologized for basically what they've done in Crime Fest. That is pretty interesting, at least to me. Daniel, do you remember what happened with Crime Fest and how
you were telling me
with the microtransactions?
Yeah, you were telling me they originally were dropping safes, and the safes were drops, but in order to unlock the safes, you had to purchase these drills that were like $2.99 a piece. Fans were outraged by the fact that you had to buy these stupid drills in order to get these safes unlocked. And the only thing that were really contained in the safes were just skins for the weapons.
Yeah, they had skins, but they also The skins could modify the statistics of the weapon. So some of them were actually like providing a 3% bonus to your entire team, like 3% bonus says in you get 3% more experience and money after each successful heist and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was still something to benefit out of getting some of the skins. Not all of the skins actually had stat bonuses. But anyway, so I think in the last night's podcast, I talked about, or I mentioned that I was like, hey, Overkill, BT Dubs, I am ready to,
BT Dubs,
to get my, I'm ready to get my, completely Overkill pack item. So,
roughly, drum roll, please. You got it.
6 years ago, not 6 years. Yeah, I did get it. Roughly like 6 months ago or so. I don't remember how long ago that was. It was so far back now.
I think it was the first episode. I don't even remember when.
It was a while back. Okay, so I think it was at least 6 months ago that Overkill had this DLC that came out. It was like this Overkill pack that it was around the time that they came out with the rocket launcher and the minigun and all that stuff. And you had the option to buy a completely Overkill pack, air quotes, and they only sold 50,000 of them. Yeah, they only sold 50,000 of them, and I'll go ahead and say right now the best thing that you got out of it was the four Overkill masks that they released as soon as you bought the DLC. They basically just redid the original four masks with like these really cool like glowy eyes and the mask glowed and stuff. My favorite one was the chains mask, but you can't wear it because it causes the game to lag, and they never fixed it.
Now, what do you think that is?
So, I don't know. And honestly, I expected them to have that, you know, resolved within, you
especially
know,
since that was a perk that you weeks, paid maybe. For.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, like, as soon as I join a party and they see me wearing that mask, they're like, oh, you're out. They don't even tell me to remove it. They're just like, you're done. It's like, all right. My favorite mask. But, anyway, the wolf mask is actually now my favorite one since you can actually wear it, and it looks pretty legit with the diamond material. But anyway, besides all that, whenever you order the Completely Overkill pack, they were going to give you what they described as an item from the game that was supposed to not give you any extra benefit. It was supposed to be just a visually awesome item. And they just released special safes for those people who ordered that Completely Overkill pack.
Did they at least give you a drill to open it?
They gave us a drill to open it, which, nice, I mean, luckily I didn't have to pay an extra $2.49 to get my Completely Overkill pack. But I got a skin for a weapon that I don't even use. So,
You need to start using that weapon.
I don't know what else to do. You can't actually go and like sell the skins that you got from that drawing. But like in the Steam inventory, you can actually sell your inventory in Steam on the market or whatever. But
you get like just a couple
cents. I don't know how much it's actually going for. Yeah, usually everything on there just goes for a few cents. So
25 cents will get you the skin.
Yeah, and you know, I think I paid like an extra $20 or something for the Completely Overkill pack, so not covered.
So you paid $20, got a buggy mask and a 25-cent skin on a weapon you don't use.
Pretty much. I mean, actually, there's a skin for the van, the getaway van.
And how does it make you feel?
That provides absolutely no benefit.
Get all that additional money in a microtransaction for stuff you don't use.
Oh man, so this actually comes back to, you know, I'm glad that we finally got our apology from Overkill for that just terribleness.
Yeah, thanks for your money, but we're sorry that it was crap.
Yeah, and gosh, I really wish that they, and I don't know if they do plan to do this or not, so I'm not going to say that they are. But, man, I hope they do something to fix it. Honestly, they just come out with something, like, give me another mask or something. I don't even care. Just something else that I have that other people don't.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was all coming back to for me.
So. Yeah, I think that's getting too much in the weeds and microtransactions for me. Like, you know, I'll get like the season pass or whatever that has like the additional maps or whatnot. But when it starts coming down to like buying skins for weapons and stuff, I don't need all that stuff.
Yeah. It comes a bit much. Like I mean, I could vaguely understand if I was playing that game in absolutely all of my free time. Mm-hmm. so I could make up for the investment that I put into, you know, the basically nothing you get in return. But it really sucks though, because the last time I played Payday, I played with a guy who was like 24 or -98, and he had weapon skins on both of his primary and secondary weapons. So I was like, I wonder how much money he spent trying to get the exact skins he needed dropped from the safe for the weapons that he uses. Anyway.
Or he got the skins and he just decided to start learning how to use those weapons that came with those skins.
That's true. I mean, that's definitely an option. I spent $10. I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to buy some safes, because you can actually get the safes for like a few cents because they sell on the Steam market. But then you have to buy the friggin' the drills for them. So I bought like 5 safes, and 4 of them gave me the exact same skin.
That would piss me off.
I was like, yeah, I was like, this is this is so stupid. And you can't sell those on the market either. Like, the regular skins that you get are not sellable. Only the, like, really good ones that, you know, almost never drop.
So, is there a chance that a drill will drop when you're playing the game?
Yeah, yeah. So, there's a very small chance, smaller than that of getting an actual drill, because I've never, or smaller than that safe. Of getting an actual safe. Yeah, because I've seen people get safes left and right. I have yet to see anybody get a drill drop yet before. So, I don't know.
So it is possible.
It is possible to get a drill. Now there's, you have to get a certain drill to open up certain safes. Yeah. So it sucks because, so let's say you get a certain drill and you don't have any safes. You're actually not in all that bad of company only because, you know, you can get a safe for, you know, 5 cents. So You're out 5 cents. Although you have to purchase it from your Steam wallet and you have to put in a, you know, it's just like the way the Xbox and the PlayStation wallets work where you have to donate or not donate, but you have to put in at least $5 for it to function. And so it's basically like a small escrow account. And, but yeah, so, the real turning point though is the fact that the safes drop more often. And I think that's because you have to pay more money to open a safe than the money you have to pay to use a drill.
Yeah.
Which I feel like, if I'm just being completely honest, and I'm saying this as somebody who's very much a fan of Overkill and everything that they've done over the last few years, that they're starting to turn into EA.
Oh, no, no. Nothing is a money hog like EA. I mean, we had Star Wars Battlefront that just came out.
Yeah.
$59.99 got you the base game. Paid an additional $10. So $69.99 would got you the base game plus a Battle of Jakku extra bonus. You were saying that you get the battle maps free next month, so maybe it's not the maps. Maybe I got some items or something. I don't know. All I know is I scanned in my little card, and it says it's available December 4th or 8th or whatever it is. So I'm going to wait to see what I get for paying that extra $10.
Let's hope it's something awesome.
Yeah, for reals. Now, that's we're at $69.99. That's $70 for a game right now. Now, to get the 4 expansion packs, you have to pay an additional $50.
That season pass.
For the season pass. And as we always say about season pass, that's you're paying additional money to get the complete game. You know, they hand you an unfinished product for $60 now, and they want you to pay additional money to get the rest of the game. So,
if there's any company notorious for doing it too, it's EA.
This game, if you want to buy it complete, will cost consumers $120. $120 for a video game.
It's rough. Yeah, and like I bought it on Origin too. And you know how like PC games are normally like $50 and the console games are
$60?
Mm-hmm. The game is still $60.
Oh, yeah, because it's EA. And it was Star Wars Battlefront.
Exactly. I am really surprised though that they're releasing a free DLC, you know, within the first month of it being released.
They probably want to give you a small taste of what you can get with the season pass. This is what the season pass might look like. So who knows?
That's true. I mean, like if I get something or if I see that people who have the season pass are getting some awesome stuff for, you know, like what's supposed to be a decent price, then I will probably jump on the bandwagon.
It's just crazy now how much these things are costing. I mean, the last one that was like super high was Batman Arkham Knight. The game was $60 plus a $40 DLC. So that game was $100. And yeah, that game's not even made by rough. EA.
So, I mean, we've both put in a little bit of time. I don't know if You may not have put in as much time as I have because
I think you put in more time than me.
But
which
so
is weird.
What do you like about it, and what do you don't like about it?
Star Wars Battlefront. The thing I like most right now is the fighter battles. I like getting in my TIE interceptor as I was telling you earlier today and just blasting the crap out of people. Funny story. I'm playing that game. First time I'm playing it, I got shot down several times. I'm like, God, you know, I know how to fly. What the hell's wrong with me? So I got back in there and I'm flying and I'm like, I'm kicking ass, dude. I killed 27 ships. I was like, man, I'm on fire. And at the end of the match, I'm like, all right, I want to see who I killed. It shows you the stats and it says like, I killed actually two players and then 25 of them were the computer controlled AI. I was like, I'm not as good as I thought I was. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's pretty awesome. And I like playing the, when you play like the ground assault missions, like when you're like at AT-AT missions or whatnot, you're trying to get your AT-ATs to the base and stuff. I like trying to run down the map and trying to find those tokens so I can get into my TIE fighter or my bomber or whatever and, yeah, you know, to clear out the map. So that's always fun for me. That's the part I like the most.
The first time I got an AT-ST, I was just like, oh man, why haven't I been looking for these sooner?
Yeah, I got into an AT-AT the other day and I was like, how long can I stay in this thing? And then all of a sudden there was like a timer. I was like, oh man, but I was like calling in airstrikes and everything. I was like, this is awesome. Yeah, it's that part of the game is amazing. The part I don't like about the game is that there's no single player campaign.
Yeah, that is.
I was hoping to play through some of the Star Wars stories, you know, kind of like, you know, just anything. Like in the last game, what was it? Battlefront 2, we got to play through the Clone Wars. So, I mean, we don't really get to have any type of single player expansion. Now, that being said, we do have the Season Pass, which is supposed to have 4 expansion packs. Is there a possibility we might get a Force Awakens single player campaign? I don't know. It's up to EA to
be pretty cool.
Make me excited.
Yeah, I mean, what's weird is that the fact that it doesn't have a single player campaign, I feel like, isn't that big of like news. So, and there may be people out here disagreeing with me, like, oh, why don't you just, you know, read stuff? But essentially, I mean, I didn't know that there was no single player campaign until I booted up the game and I clicked single player and all there was a tutorial and like some, what is that? There's like a survival mode or something, but there's zero campaign.
Yeah. You and me got into a little argument over it. Cause I was like, there's a single player campaign. I saw it. And you're like, no, there isn't. I'm like, I just installed the game and I saw it last night. But yeah, I was completely shocked by that. You know, I just didn't know that there wasn't going to be a campaign mode. But I guess that's also my fault for not researching the game more.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's not a bad thing for you to assume that there's going to be a single player campaign on the game that you just purchased for, you know, potentially $120. But yeah, it's kind of messed up. I mean, there's even another guy at work today who was surprised that the game didn't even have a single player. Which, I mean, I feel like maybe EA may not even get that many sales if people knew that there was no single player.
Yeah, single player is usually where I run through the game and I like really learn how to play the game because I'm, you know, running through the missions and yeah, you can do that with training, but it's not the same.
Yeah, that's the problem I have is when you have to just keep playing the game. Otherwise, you know, you get in a vehicle or maybe you finally spawn as a hero for the first time and you don't know how to play him.
Yeah.
So, and that's the part that really sucks. This is like, cause the other day, I came in as Luke Skywalker. I'm like, all right, I'm going to, you know, whoop some ass. And I mean, like, I killed like maybe 10 people and then I died. And I was like, I feel like I probably should have killed a bit more people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like the last remaining Jedi on Earth.
yeah. Seriously. I was just like, I didn't know what the buttons did. So I was just kind of like pressing them when they were, you know, available off cooldown and stuff like that. So, Yeah, it kind of sucks, but yeah, so literally the only thing I can do is just keep, or anybody can do, is just keep playing and figure out how to play them by getting the ability to play as the vehicles and the heroes.
Yeah, the thing that turns me off, though, about multiplayer is that, you know, I jump into a match and then there's like 16 level 37 guys who I run through and I can't kill because these guys are so much higher level than me. They keep killing me. And like, once I get my groove in, I get shot. I jump back out, I get shot. I go back out, I get shot.
It's like, yeah, the spawn points. Like, it'll get real bad because... Gosh, okay, so this is one of the topics I don't like about Battlefront, is that sometimes they'll spawn you right in front of people. Like, it is possible to camp the spawn points of your other team, and I think that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
I feel like if there's somebody in the vicinity, you shouldn't be allowed to be spawned there, you know? It just doesn't seem right to me.
But it just makes you wonder, is it because of the whole 20-on-20 battles that they just have to allow it?
I mean, Battlefield does a good job of it. And honestly, what Battlefront is to me is Battlefield, mm-hmm. but in a Star Wars version.
With a Star Wars skin. Minus the squads.
So anytime I can get a partner start, that is the way to go. But they don't offer the partner start throughout the game or throughout whatever game that you're in. So, like, maybe – and I don't know what the deal is. This is just through my personal experience at least, that I'll be playing the game, I'll start it, and then I can do my partner starts. Like, I can spawn wherever my, quote, air quote, partner is. I don't know how they decide who my partner is. Mm-hmm. But I can spawn where my partner is for like the first, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of the game. And then in the second rest of the game, it's like I have to spawn way in the back, run forward for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to catch up to the battle, and then die, and then do the same thing again. It's just like painful to do. I hate that, man. It kills me.
So you tell me what your worst part was. What's your favorite part about the game?
My favorite part, I thoroughly enjoy the Walker. I don't know what it's called, like Walker Defense or Walker something, where the giant walkers have to get all the way across the map. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoy that. That being said, I kind of have to mix it with something I don't like about the game. Is that at least on PC, when you join a game and you win the match, and then you know how the game automatically starts the next match, mm-hmm. you're on the same team. So if you win on that team, there's like I don't know, maybe 90 to 100% chance that you're gonna win the next game over and over and over. The same thing about being on the losing team, though. If you join a game and you're on the losing team, you will keep losing. And that's what makes it not fun. But as far as playing the Walker game mode, when you're on a winning team, it's pretty legit. So, and I don't know. It's. I think that there's still a lot of balancing to be implemented into that game. But I think at the end of all of it, I still really enjoy playing that game.
Yeah, so you got it on the PC. I got it on the Xbox. We'll never be able to play each other unless they do some sort of cross-platform, which I don't think is going to happen with EA titles. I think it's going to be Microsoft titles only, but we'll see.
Yeah,
it just sucks you can't be my friend on there. We could run together.
So I told you about this earlier. Have you ever heard of Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
If you haven't, anybody who's listening, is that Cards Against Humanity is sort of like an adult version of Apples to Apples, sort of. They play somewhat similar. So we got through the Black Friday Madness, the Friday after Thanksgiving, where everything goes on sale and we all get to shop till our hearts are content. Well, Cards Against Humanity had their own little Black Friday sale where you could spend $5 and get nothing in return. So I actually saw this, like I saw it on Facebook the day of Black Friday and everything. They're like, give us $5 and we'll give you nothing. It was like, I wonder how many people are actually going to, you know, donate five. I mean, that's really what it is the donate $5 to them. They made over $70,000 off of that ad.
They should be able to print out a new set of cards now.
I seriously, I was just shocked. So that means at least 14,000 people out there were just like, yeah, I'll give them $5. Can you imagine? This is like, you know, I should put up an ad for my Twitch channel and be like, hey, if you guys give me $5, I'll be sure to give you nothing in return.
That's what we need to do for Temple Geek. Give us $1. We'll do absolutely nothing for you.
This is like, man, I don't know. I don't know. For some reason, that totally just baffles me. 70 grand. I don't know. It's like, do you accept that as a charitable donation or do you count that as income?
It's income.
It's crazy, man.
It's not charitable income because they're not a charity.
Well, I mean, like a donation type thing.
I guess it could be a donation, but yeah, it's just.
It's pretty crazy.
They're you would hope that a company like that would be like, okay, these people are cool enough. We're going to send them a special card that, you know, is not in any of the other sets or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
That would be pretty cool.
We'll see. Maybe they're like,
just print us one piece of paper.
Yeah, that's all it is. Piece of paper. I paid $5 for a piece of paper. Stamp will cost more than the $5 that they paid. I don't know. But yeah, $70,000, that's amazing. Just on Black Friday.
Just on Black Friday, man. I just thought that was bizarre.
Well, speaking of Black Friday, you actually went Black Friday shopping for the first time in your life.
My first time, man.
Yeah, this is my favorite holiday of the year.
So how many Black Fridays do you think you've shopped, or at least?
So, to be fair, I worked for 10 years at a shopping mall as a security officer, and for 10 years I had to suffer through Black Friday. I hated it. It was the worst time of the freaking year. I could not stand that day. The minute I left and quit that job that first year, I went to my first Black Friday, and I got addicted to it. I was instantly hooked. So I have been doing it now for 4 years.
4 years. Wow.
And for the last 4 years, it's usually when I get like all my games. I try to buy as many games as I can because they usually knock them down really, and you get pretty big hits for, you know, at least half off. So this year I picked up 5 games and a PlayStation. I am now a proud owner of a PlayStation 4.
Everybody rejoice.
So Marcus and I can now play on both systems. And yes. What made Black Friday funny was I bought a Guitar Hero first. So I bought the Guitar Hero game, and Marcus was with me. Finally, he showed up with me a little bit later, and I was like, hey, man, you need to get Guitar Hero so we could play. He was like, okay. So he's picking it up on PlayStation 4, and this is before I even got a PlayStation 4. I'm like, dude, you need to get it on Xbox so we could play together. So he buys it on Xbox. And we have yet to play it together.
I really wish I would have got it. You know, I probably would have got a good guitar too if I. So, what I'm referencing is, everybody, is I, like Daniel said, I bought Guitar Hero Live. And, I mean, we played it at Daniel's house before, at the end of that night. So I hadn't even gone home yet, and I hadn't, you know, unboxed all my stuff yet. So we were playing it over there to check it out and see how it was and all that stuff.
It only took 20 minutes to install.
I mean, everything seemed to work fine except for that one tutorial. It was actually that way on mine too. where the guy was talking and referencing things on the screen that weren't there.
I wonder if they forgot to include that.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but so anyway, I hook mine up at home and I start playing and everything. Everything's going great until I realize that one of my buttons keeps getting stuck under, like, it was the top button, so it's like right at the top of the guitar head where like the plastic meets the buttons. The button was actually getting caught under the plastic, so it was staying stuck down. And then when I, you know, try to play another note, it would count it as, you know, wrong because technically I was holding down another button. So that was extremely frustrating. And I had to actually, like, take the neck back off the guitar. They claim that you can't take it off, but it's really just a screw that you need to turn and on the back side of the guitar, and then you can pull it off. And then take apart the neck, and then finally take off all the buttons, and then file down the top plastic inside of the fretboard. That was way too much work.
But you got a working guitar.
I did. I helped manufacture my guitar.
Very few people can say that about their guitar heroes. That they helped put it together.
It's so sad. But I mean, so actually I've got Guitar Hero Live, and I also got Rock Band 4 a while back. So I get to kind of compare them, which I really like. First off, I will say that for the positive for Guitar Hero Live is that the syncing between the console and the guitar controller is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you've had any issues, I haven't had any, like, syncing issues where it was late to be able to do the buttons that I pressed and all that stuff.
Yeah, because you said you were having that problem with Rock Band. There was, like, a delay.
Yeah. And granted, I got Rock Band 4 on the PS4, and I've got Guitar Hero Live on the Xbox One, just for any references, if you find that, you know, useful to you. Essentially, though, I had lag issues. I would press, like, let's say I'd press three buttons in a row real quickly. It would go button, button, button on the screen. So, like, it just – the signals weren't getting sent to the console fast enough. And, like, I actually had to sit, like, directly in front of my PlayStation for a while for it to start actually, you know, working correctly. So, like, I don't know if anybody else has ever tried this, but you can actually hook up your PS4 controller to your computer via Bluetooth. But the bad part about it is it's a connection via Bluetooth. So although you have a connection, it's not a 100% stable connection, and that's when the lagging comes through, where, like, if you're playing, like, a driving game, you'll push left and then left. So it's like maybe a second later or half a second later, but it's a big deal whenever you're playing the game. And so that was the issues that I was experiencing with the Guitar Hero controller. Wait,
with the Rock Band controller.
Yeah.
The Guitar Hero, you don't experience any of that stuff with.
No. I will say that the Guitar Hero controller is a little bit smaller than the Rock Band controller. And that kind of actually makes it a little bit difficult for me to play the game.
To me, what makes it difficult really small is the new button layout.
I kind of like the new button layout. It makes it a little bit more difficult, and yeah, I don't know. I think a new challenge is what I was looking for.
And I do like the fact that Guitar Hero said, you know, F the drums, but they kept the microphone. So you could play two guitars and a microphone, but there's no drums in the game.
Yeah.
Whereas Rock Band was like, why change what we already know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because with Rock Band – or not Rock Band. I was about to say Rock Band Live. With Guitar Hero Live, it seems like they were just they wanted to rebuild the game. I don't know, because, you know, the controller is different, so you can't use any legacy guitar that you had before, like you can use with the Rock Band 4. Mm. I haven't tried out my mic yet to see if it'll work in Guitar Hero Live, so that's still up in the air for me. And then, you know, Guitar Hero came out with, like, the special drums. Mm-hmm. Remember, it had, like, cymbals and all that stuff? And
yeah, three cymbals.
I don't know. I'm a little surprised that they're willing to, like, you know, send that off to make a new game.
Well, I think because they lost so much money in the last game, you know, because no one really bought the last game. It was just like everybody was like, it's the same thing over and 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 over.
It's true.
They probably were like, well, let's just do something completely different and let's see if we can make money off of it. So I'm thinking that's probably the route they went. Now, one thing I don't like about the game is the downloadable content. It's basically just a bunch of music videos that you get play tokens for, and you can play them for free if you earn enough tokens, or you could buy the tokens so you can play music. You can't actually buy music, from what I can tell, to keep on your system and play over and over again. You have to pay for these tokens. So
I thought that was weird too. Because I thought I was going to be stuck in this dilemma of, like, am I going to have to choose now? Do I want to spend money on Rock Band or do I want to spend money on Guitar Hero? Because actually, there's another point I want to bring up. I thought the music on Guitar Hero was much better than the music that was on Rock Band.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I think I like maybe 10 to 25% of the songs that come on the disc of Rock Band 4. The rest, I dedicate $25 to each paycheck to a new set of DLC that I want to buy, and then I go from there. So,
Guitar Hero, you liked pretty much all of it?
Not all of it, but there's a lot more music on there that I really like. And actually, they play a lot of electronic music, which I think is really cool. So that you'll be able to play a song that doesn't actually have a guitar in it,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's on there. Like, it's like Calvin Harris song, Right Now or whatever like that, whatever mm-hmm. that is. Anyway, it's an electronic song. There's no guitar in it. But you get to play a guitar in that song. to me, that's what it's more about, is that I have a challenge to play along to a song that I like. It's not about playing a song that has to have a guitar in it, and I have to play the role of the main guitar or the rhythm guitar or whatever it is, or the bass. So, I don't know. I need to get a second guitar, actually, for both of those games.
I just get your legacy stuff for the PS4 and then buy another guitar for Guitar Hero.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, go to my local game store that sells used game electronics and stuff. Just get a PS3 Rock Band or Guitar Hero controller and do it that way.
So what type of games did you pick up on Black Friday besides Guitar Hero?
I think Guitar Hero may have been the only one I got.
Really?
Yeah.
I ended up getting Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, which I have not played yet, but I heard that was actually pretty fun, so I picked that up. It was pretty cheap.
I've heard it's really difficult.
Transformers Devastation, the game I've been wanting, but I didn't want to spend $50 on it, so I got that for $25. Guitar Hero Live, and got a PlayStation 4 with Uncharted. And then I went back the next day and got Last of Us at Walmart for $25. Yes. On PS4. So my PS4 collection is slowly starting to build. And now I can be at peace and get Street Fighter V.
Oh, yeah, dude. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's actually, that's really funny because I just completed Rise of the Tomb Raider this past week.
So, a game you've been clamoring for on the Xbox.
Exactly. But you know, it's going to come out on both, on the other two consoles next year.
Which you'll probably get.
I will probably buy it on everything, just like I have the first Tomb Raider game on everything.
That's hilarious.
I got it on PC. Did I get it on PS3? I think I did get it on PS3. I definitely bought it on the PS4, and I got it for free through Games with Gold on Xbox One.
Yeah, I got it through for free on Xbox One.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so I got a couple games. I'm excited. I'm playing through Uncharted now. I just started streaming it yesterday on Twitch on the Temple of Geek channel. So I'm sorry, I didn't stream it on Temple of Geek. I uploaded that on YouTube. I was streaming Transformers Devastation on Twitch. I get confused. But the game, yeah, it's kind of difficult. The puzzles, you have no idea what the puzzles are.
So it's unforgiving in the first game. Yeah.
But like I said, I'm going to get through the first three games, and I'm going to quickly move on to Last of Us so I can say I played, you know, these games, because I get tired of hearing everybody talk about how awesome these games are, and I haven't played them yet, which is really sad because I just picked all of these games up on PS3. Every single one of them I just got on PS3. And I think I was
there for most of them.
But now I got it on PS4, so there's that.
Actually, you know what's really funny about all of that is that all four of those games are by the same company.
Naughty Dog, yeah.
They're arguably the best. They're arguably some of the best games on PS3.
Yeah. So far, I'm very impressed with Drake's Fortune, which is the first game of the Uncharted series. It's pretty awesome. I like the storyline, so I'm gonna finish plugging through these games and move on to the next one.
Let's see. I think that's honestly all I've got left. I did see an article that the PlayStation had sold the most consoles on Black Friday, which honestly isn't all that surprising. You actually got to experience firsthand why PlayStation, or the repercussions of selling so many consoles on Black Friday.
Yeah, it took me an hour to get logged into the game system. I was like, I know this is my password. And every time I would enter it, it's like, network is down. I'm like, God damn it. Finally get logged in, and it was like, we need to send a confirmation email. I was like, why? I'm already on PS3. Everything is set up on PS3. What the hell? So they said you should get this confirmation email in 15 minutes or less. I didn't get it until an hour and a half later.
Wow.
I just let my system – just let it sit there, and I just booted up the Xbox and was playing some games on there. And then finally my phone went ding. I was like, oh, there's my email. Flipping back over. But yeah. Apparently everybody and their mom didn't buy this system for Christmas like I did. You know, they didn't want to put it under their trees like I didn't want to put it under my tree, and unwrapped it, put it on their shelves, and was all trying to log in at the same exact time, causing an issue on the PlayStation Network.
Yep. If there's any good problem to have, I'd say it's that one. You know, it's still really bizarre to think that, you know, PlayStation just, you know, just before maybe a year and a half. No, I guess it's coming on 2 years ago now, where, you know, everyone thought that they were on the verge of bankruptcy and all that stuff. And they were really depending on the PS4. To bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've been winning out ever since it got released.
Until the Nintendo NX comes out.
Oh my goodness. And honestly, I think I actually might buy an NX just because there's got to be a good Zelda game coming out on it, right?
There's a great Zelda game. Now, here's my fear. So the NX is supposed to be announced officially next year at E3. Reggie Fils-Aimé said he's going to be bringing out information about the NX next year. They already showed screenshots of this new Zelda game that's supposed to be running on the Wii U hardware. Now, I am going to be pissed if they're like, the NX comes out, we're going to go ahead and hold on to Zelda for the NX. I'm going to be pissed. because they showed it running on the Wii U hardware.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it running on, like, the Unreal Engine, so yes. It looks, like, super beautiful? It's like, it looks nothing like any other Zelda game before, right?
Yes, and it looks – I mean, I was like, wow, you know, the Wii U can put out graphics like this. You know, let's get this game out now. And
yeah.
I just have this feeling that they're going to be like, we're going to wait for the NX. And I'm gonna be like, motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, so the Wii and the Wii U, I think, to me, at least in my opinion, they were a step behind when they got released. So do you think that the NX will also be a step behind, or do you think that they're going to release a console that's going to be able to compete?
I think they're going to release a console that's actually going to be more advanced. I think
What do you mean by advanced?
Like probably processing-wise, better than the PlayStation 4 and Xbox, because they've had more time to develop, and quite frankly, they know they're behind in, you know, terms of graphics and things like that. They know that's things that people look for now. So I have a feeling that this new system will be probably more advanced in that regard. They'll have, you know, better processing speed, a better graphics card in it, because at the time there'll probably be a more advanced graphics card for game systems, things like that. Nintendo, that, and quite frankly, they have to. If they don't do it and they're behind again, you know, if they send out last year's looking graphics and things like that, they're just going to lose money. Now they're banking off of the Amiibos.
Those Amiibos are selling pretty hot.
And Nintendo used to be a toy company, so, I mean, they still technically are a toy company. They have money there. I don't know. We'll see. I hope the NX system does well, because I really want to see Nintendo survive this. I've been a Nintendo fan for forever. Still am.
It's a me.
And I mean, like, I definitely think that Nintendo has the capability of putting something out there that everybody's going to want.
Capcom did say they were going to probably more than likely support the NX, so that's exciting.
Oh, okay. So do you think we'll get a Street Fighter 6 on the – or 5 on the
– Yeah, we'll probably get one of the iterations of Street Fighter 5, because, you know, there's going to be Street Fighter 5, Super Street Fighter 5, Street Fighter Super 5 Turbo or
– Super Turbo Remix Ultra Edition times Infinity.
EX plus Alpha.
What was the game that did that? Wasn't that Dead Rising or something like that?
Yeah. Super Dead Rising 3 Ultra Mega Rix Mimix Collection, or I forgot what it was called. But yeah, I saw the preview for that. I was like, I have got to get that game. And I did. And it was awesome.
The good name of the title alone. Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we close it out?
Amiibos are awesome.
I like looking at your Amiibo collection. I don't personally want to spend the money, though.
$98 on 7 figures.
Man. And, like, I feel like if I started doing those, then it would turn out kind of like those, like, these right here, the pop figures, where, you know, spending like $15 a piece on all of these things, and they're just visually pleasing to look at. That's all I can say.
You're like, one isn't expensive. 20 pops later.
Yeah, 20 pops later, or, you know, just you go into the store and you pick out 10 of them. You're like, oh, I mean, they're not that expensive. And then you get, like, 10 of them at $15 a piece, and you're walking out $150 worth of plastic. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up this episode of Knights of the Game Table podcast. I want to thank Mr. Daniel Slade for joining me on this episode. Stay tuned to thetempleofgeek.com for the next all-new episode. And as always, thank you for listening.
Please follow us on Twitter at Temple of Geek. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Temple of Geek. And remember to visit thetempleofgeek.com, your one stop for all things geek. Congratulations! This story is a happy ending. Thank you.